Christmas morning, we have some reflections on our reading from Titus. It is a really nice little passage, packed full of things. Are there some things that you just have to have for Christmas to be complete? Anybody, you can answer. We're a small group. You can answer back to me this morning. Anything that you just have to have for Christmas season to be Christmas season? No? What's that? Charlie Brown Christmas, that's a very good one. Yes, you have to have the Charlie Brown Christmas. Anything else? Christmas lights, maybe? For me, Christmas Eve candlelight service is one of those things. But also, at some point in the season, I have to watch some version of A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. It could be the Patrick Stewart version. I even like the old 1930-something version, too. What's that? 1951 version. Okay, there's that one, too. What's that? The Muppets Christmas Carol. There is also a Doctor Who version, by the way, which may be a little bit irreverent, but still very good. My go-to version, though, is the Disney Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol. Still my favorite one, with Ebenezer Scrooge playing Scrooge McDuck. Now, you know the story. Ebenezer Scrooge, he's a miser. He cares nothing for the people around him. He is wealthy, but he cares nothing about the needs of anyone around him. And so one night, I think it's Christmas Eve night, actually, he's going to his bed, and he's visited by an old business partner of him, the ghost of Jacob Marley, played by Goofy in the Mickey Mouse version. And Jacob Marley tells him that his soul is in danger, basically. The bitterness of his soul is in danger because he cares only about himself. And so on that night, he's going to be visited by three ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And really, they're not ghosts. They're more manifestations of Christmas past, present, and future. And if he doesn't change his ways, Scrooge is in danger of walking the earth forever bound in chains, bound in his own bitterness and his own miserliness. And so these ghosts, these manifestations, come to him in turn. I think in the original version, they come on separate nights. In the Disney version, they come every hour or 3 hours. They come and they visit him, Christmas past, present, and future, and they do their job really well. They scare Scrooge into what amounts to repentance. He turns from his miserly ways. He becomes more kind. He becomes more gentle. He becomes a better person to those around him. He goes to Bob Cratchit, his clerk, and he makes him a business partner so that Tiny Tim will do well. It turns out well for him. But had he not been visited by the manifestations, by the spirits, by the ghosts, whatever they are, Scrooge would have been doomed. This passage from Titus talks about appearances. It talks about the manifestation of Jesus Christ to us. And in Jesus Christ, we have all three manifestations. We have Christmas past, we have Christmas present, and we have Christmas future. And they are all here in Titus chapter 2. And like Scrooge, without this manifestation, we too would be doomed. We would be left in our sins, because really all of us, apart from Christ, we have a tendency towards selfishness, towards looking at our own needs. We are self-seeking individuals. We are either bent toward complete godliness in piety, which Paul talks about, and Paul is the writer of Titus, by the way. We are bent towards being something like our own gods, impassioned for the things of this world instead of the things for God. We are Scrooges in this sense. But God sends us the manifestation that is Jesus Christ. And on the first Noel, the first Christmas, we hear about this from Paul, writing to Titus in verse 11, which says, "The grace of God has appeared," which basically means has manifested itself, "bringing salvation to all." Here, Paul is talking about Christmas past. But as I mentioned last night, when we as Christians think about the manger and we think about Jesus Christ and we read the Gospels at all times, no matter how old Jesus is, at all times it has the cross in mind. When we think about Christmas past, we think then about the manger, but we also think about the cross. Because why is he named Jesus? He's named Jesus because he is going to save us from our sins. His identity and his everything about him is bound into his journey to the cross. Scripture always talks about Jesus and always thinks about Jesus as being the one who is crucified and who is raised. It is always focused on that. And so Paul talks about this Christmas past and the appearance of and the manifestation of Jesus Christ, and he refers to him in verse 14 as the one who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity or sin. But more than that, to purify for himself a people of his own. In other words, God claims us to be his own people who are zealous, excited, desiring to do the good things that God would have us do, good deeds. Jesus has claimed us then in this Christmas past, which we celebrate today, by his cross to be his people, to be claimed by him to do the works of God. So today we celebrate this manifestation of God in flesh. And like I said, this God in flesh is always the one who gave his flesh for us. This is why, to me, it's important that we celebrate communion on this day. Because in celebrating communion, what do? We celebrate the body of Christ given for you. We celebrate the blood of Christ given for you. We put the mass back in Christmas. That's important. And so we receive the body and blood of Christ. And in doing so, we place ourselves then in Christmas present. Because that body and blood of Christ is the Christmas present manifestation for us. And in Christmas present, which I guess is almost like a present, like a gift to us, we then are strengthened to live in this time now. We are nourished for the present through the forgiveness of sins and through Christ entering into us. Again, Titus 2, chapter 12. The grace of God has appeared, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. Christ appeared to make us his own, and so he enables us then, by his Spirit, which is given to us in baptism, to live a life that is worthy of being called a Christian. Now we read this in the letters that Paul writes, and a lot of the New Testament is written to Christians, people that have been transformed by God, and it's encouraging them to live lives that reflect Jesus Christ. That's why it's also important to have the body and blood of Christ, because we know that we screw up in living those lives a lot, don't we? And so we want to receive the forgiveness, and we receive that through communion, and we are nourished to live those lives. And if you come on Sunday for what will be the fifth service I'll do in 8 days, we'll hear from Colossians, and we'll reflect on this life that we are supposed to live in this, I guess you could call it Christmas present. And for Paul and Titus, all this is leading us to, then, Christmas future, where we have the manifestation of Jesus Christ who returns to us, because we are called to live this life of holiness as Christians, as ones called and saved by God, as we await the blessed hope, this is verse 13, and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We await the return of Jesus. When all our pains and our sufferings and all the sorrows of this world will be finally and fully overcome, and when things will be made complete. In the Christmas Carol, Scrooge kind of doesn't want to see Christmas future. He kind of knows what is happening. I forgot another great version of A Christmas Carol, by the way. It's I forget the name of it. It's Bill Murray's version. Very irreverent, but it's there anyway, too. But in these versions of A Christmas Carol, what does the ghost of Christmas future often look like? He looks like the Grim Reaper, doesn't he? And he's a very scary and imposing figure, and that's the figure that really scares Scrooge. What does he show Scrooge? He shows him an empty grave. He shows him his tombstone, where he's heading. The ghost of Christmas future, the manifestation of Christmas future, frightens Scrooge. But for those of us who have faith, who believe in Christ, who rest and put our trust in Him, who are nourished by Him, who have been transformed by the action of God in the past through the cross and the resurrection, Christmas future is something that we long for. It's something we can't wait for, because it is the completion of all things. It's when we get to see the glory of God unfiltered, and it's something too great to even imagine. We long to see God, to join Him in His glory, to have our hope, which the season is all about, fully realized, to see creation restored. And so until then, though, we come to the table, we receive the body and the blood of Christ, and we are nourished and forgiven and enabled to live as people of the faith in the here and now, in Christmas present. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Jesus Christ, the baby born, the baby that would become a man, crucified for us, resurrected for us, ascended to the throne of heaven for us, where He speaks to God on our behalf, interceding for us as we work through the trials and the sufferings of this world. Nourish us now through Your body and blood, and strengthen us for the year to come. We pray this in Your name. Amen.